This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. We talked about a report from the Congressional Budget Office on the program yesterday. It was on the minimum wage, that report, and what it would mean economically to raise it to $15 an hour. About 1 million fewer people living in poverty, but also about 1.5 million fewer jobs was one of the key takeaways. Now, whether an increase is going to wind up in the next relief bill is, of course, still up in the air. But for now, the Dems are pushing it. And if it happens, among many other workers, waiters, bartenders, and others who get tipped income would be covered. And it'd get rid of the national tipped minimum wage, too, which right now is just $2.13 an hour. Not a typo there, $2.13 an hour. The idea has been, for years now, that people would make up the difference in tips. But where did that idea come from in the first place, do you suppose? Marketplace's Jasmine Garst has the answer.
If you have ever waited tables, you might have experienced this feeling of dread. Tourists walk in from a part of the world like, say, Europe, where tipping is not the norm. Which is funny, because experts say tipping actually started in Europe among aristocrats and got picked up by Americans by the mid-1800s. Gerald Friedman is an economist at the University of Massachusetts Amherst.
Rich Americans started going to Europe and coming back with this sense that, oh, we're going to be aristocrats now. And it was a mark that you had been to Europe that you were tipping. Oh, I'm going to tip because that's what we do in Paris.
Strong labor unions in Europe eventually rejected tipping, he says. But in the U.S., the end of slavery actually cemented the practice of tipping in American culture. Saru Jayaraman is the director of the Food Labor Research Center at the University of California, Berkeley. She says companies didn't want to reach into their own pockets to pay recently freed enslaved people.
Train companies hired tens of thousands of black men, had them work as porters on the trains for no wage, just to live off the tips of the white customers who were traveling. The second industry was the restaurant industry that wanted the right to hire black people and also not pay them.
Which, she says, left these workers at the mercy of people who may not have actually tipped. So some continued to work for next to nothing at times. There was pushback to the tipping system. It was often called un-American. In 1915, some states banned tipping, but those laws were quickly repealed. A federal minimum wage passed in the 1930s. Here's FDR talking about wages.
What we'll attempt to give to the industrial workers of the country, a more fair wage return.
But notice how he says industrial workers. Tipped workers weren't discussed when it came to wages. Reverend William Barber is the president of the nonprofit Repairers of the Breach. He says in part they were left out because
the powerful forces in the South wanted to make sure black people and Latinos and others did not have the same equal economic status as white workers.
30 years later, after mounting pressure from civil rights activists, many whom themselves were black workers making extremely low wages, Congress finally did set a standard for tipped workers. Employers would have to pay around half the minimum wage and kick in more if the tips didn't make up the difference. The tipped minimum wage stayed pegged to the regular minimum wage until 1996.
A minimum wage increase jeopardizes existing jobs.
That's Herman Cain, who would become the head of the National Restaurant Association, testifying against a proposal to raise wages. Labor historians say Cain helped push for a compromise. The minimum wage would rise, but the standard for tipped workers would no longer be tied to it. So the tipped minimum stayed at $2.13 and has been there for more than 25 years. Mike Watley is the vice president for state and local affairs at the National Restaurant Association.
Now is not a time for a massive increase in labor costs for restaurants, but especially upending a system that works for everyone right now.
But how well it works depends on who you are. Several studies have shown that Latinx and black tipped workers make significantly less than their white counterparts. Reverend Barber says following a year of racial upheaval, it's time to do away with a practice rooted in slavery.
If you're going to address racism, first of all, you must address racism with an economic lens as well.
Seven states already require companies to pay all workers the standard minimum wage, but change on the federal level, that's still being debated. It has been for over 100 years. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.